Today's date is July 1st, 2015. I am Tamika Williams, the interviewer. I'm the interviewer, the oral historian. That's you, Margaret Hudson. And you are retired from OIC and you're not currently working, correct?
No.
Okay. Lucky you.
No, I'm not.
Aw, okay. Well, this project is titled The Oral Histories on Plant Closings in Milwaukee. So that's the beginning part. And honestly, it seems like you are very personal and good at talking. Can you just give me a general background on, like, where you grew up, kind of what your family was like, what your history here in Milwaukee?
I grew up in Missouri.
Oh, okay.
I'm not a Wisconsinite. Okay. Don't like Milwaukee.
Okay.
That's the truth. Never have liked it.
Okay. But it's better than Chicago. Oh, yeah, that's what we said.
I know. I'm originally from St. Louis. And
okay.
My father came here because of work.
Okay.
And then he got my mother and me and my brother, just two children.
Okay.
Then we grew up here. I married sometime afterwards and left here.
Oh, okay.
And then I came, my brother was in the service, and I came back when he got his first furlough, the 30-day thing.
Mm-hmm.
Once I got back, I wasn't staying. I just come back
okay.
to see him. And then my mother and father decided to tell me and my brother they had something to tell us. We okay. thought they'd get a divorce.
Right.
They wasn't.
Okay.
They decided that there were children out here that needed
oh.
a family.
Mm-hmm.
So they took in foster children. Okay. And when I said children, I mean little bitty babies coming right out of the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And they had eight at one time.
Wow.
Yeah, so when I finally came back to Milwaukee to live permanently,
mm-hmm.
They not only had two grown children with children, mm-hmm. they had foster children.
Okay.
So they grew up with, I grew up around with them. Well, I was already grown, but they grew mm-hmm. up with my children.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been here since.
Okay.
I cannot figure out how to get out of Wisconsin. I can't. I used to tell my mother if anything ever happened to her, I was leaving Wisconsin.
Okay.
Well, it did. Then I thought about my father was still here, my brother was still here.
Oh.
So I said, I ain't going yet.
Okay.
Daddy died. I said, well, I still got a brother here.
Okay.
My brother finally died. I still ain't left me.
Well, your family, your children here, right?
Yeah. All of my children are still here. Some of my grandchildren are not here.
Oh, okay.
One granddaughter and her husband live in Texas.
Okay.
One of my grandson lives in Alabama. He's in the service. He's a recruiter. And him and his two boys live in Alabama.
Okay.
I don't think I'm going there. I've been to Texas. My birthday this year, I went to Texas. My grandkids sent me down there.
That's nice.
And other than that, all the rest of them are here. That's the one reason I won't leave.
Okay.
Because all of my children are here.
Okay. How many children do you have?
Seven.
Okay.
Yeah, they're all here. And all of my grandchildren,
mm-hmm.
I raised 10 grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all here.
Okay.
And now my great-grandchildren
are going to be here.
Yeah, some
you're
are here.
Some
of them are here.
Mm-hmm.
One great-granddaughter is in Washington in college right now.
Okay.
And the other grandchildren, one granddaughter finished college,
mm-hmm.
and she's back here.
Okay. So you did say you left. Did you leave for school? I mean, where did you do
when I left Milwaukee,
mm-hmm.
I was married.
Right. You got married. But you got married here and then left with your mm-hmm. husband to do what?
He was going to work.
Okay.
That didn't work.
Okay.
I divorced him.
Oh, okay.
Then I married him, believe it or not, I married again, but I married a boy that I went to school with in Milwaukee, in St. Louis.
In St. Louis, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you went to school in St. Louis for mm-hmm. high school, mm-hmm. primary school?
Mm-hmm. With high school.
Okay.
When we got here, I quit going to school.
Okay.
And because I got married. And then when I married Thomas in St. Louis, he was in the service.
Okay.
So I lived in North Carolina for a while.
Okay.
In Fayetteville.
I know Fayetteville.
You do?
Mm-hmm. I went to school in North Carolina as
well. Oh, okay.
Well,
yeah, he was stationed at Fort Bragg.
Okay.
So I lived down there for a while, and then I went back to St. Louis.
Okay.
Then I had babies again, because I had some babies already. Mm-hmm. I had babies again.
Mm-hmm.
And then that marriage didn't work.
Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah. Mama said, that's my fault. I'm too pig-headed. And that's when I came back for good.
Okay.
And I came here, and then what I did, I went to, I worked, but I hadn't finished high school, so I wasn't doing nothing.
Okay.
So I went back
to school. So you didn't complete high school at that point?
At that point, no. Okay. I went back to school.
Okay.
And I didn't get a GED. No. GED wasn't my thing.
Okay.
And I went back to high school here at MATC.
Oh, okay.
And finished my high school. Then I went to 2 years, and I got an associate degree in social welfare at MATC.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, because I was working, but, you know, like part-time and stuff, you know, and I was on AFDC at the time because I had to feed and clothe and house my children.
Right.
And I wasn't getting no child support, never did get any.
Oh.
And I just decided, I was the first person in my family on welfare.
Okay.
And that wasn't for me.
Okay.
So, but I had to stay on that until I was able to get a decent job where I could make some money.
Yeah.
And that's what I did.
Yeah.
Been working ever since. Up until OIC closed.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then when OIC closed, you didn't find a job after that?
Only place I found a job, right after we closed,
my
girl used to be my supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
They asked her, there was still some files open of OICs, and they needed them gone through and see if they were closed and if what they, you know, what should be done with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked her to do it, and she recruited me to work with her. So I did work a little short time after they closed.
Okay.
And after once we got through with all those files, then I was out of job again. And the only place I could get a job, believe it or not, was the post office as a casual.
As a what?
Casual.
Oh.
They hire what they, well, they don't anymore, but they used to hire what they call casuals doing like the Christmas and stuff like that. And I was able to, I have my oldest daughter works for the post office, and she brought my ass to bring me an application. She didn't want to, but she didn't have a choice. I told her to bring it. So she got me an application. I filled that out and turned it in, and they called me, and I went to work as a casual at the post office.
Okay.
The only thing about that, I had never been stayed on my feet for 8 hours working.
Oh.
I always had a test to see that.
Mm-hmm.
It almost killed my feet.
Mm-hmm.
But I stuck it out, and I worked there until they stopped hiring casuals. And it was just seasonal when they would hire you.
Okay.
And I worked there until they stopped hiring casuals.
Okay.
You know?
So where in, it sounds like you've lived in different parts of Milwaukee. Where have you lived throughout Milwaukee?
When we first came here, we lived on Center.
Okay.
And that was just a short time. We were residing with another family.
Did I bring you a water?
That's okay. I'm not a water person.
Okay.
And then after that, we moved on what, I don't know what they call it now. We call it the Hill.
Mm.
We moved on Mount Vernon.
Okay.
And we lived out there. And then I left and got married. My parents lived... They were still living out there when I came back.
Okay.
And then they moved in North Avenue. No, the first time we came here, we lived on Summers.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the second time, me and my mama and my brother, daddy sent us back.
Okay.
Because we didn't do nothing but cry. So he sent us back to St. Louis. But then when we come back, daddy was living on Center. And then after that, they lived on Mount Vernon. And I left, when I came back to Milwaukee, where was Mom and Daddy living? I don't know where they were living.
You went back to St. Louis to live with other family there for high school?
Mm-mm.
Without your parents?
Yeah, when we first came here and we went back, yeah.
Okay.
Daddy. Now, Mama went with us.
Oh, she did.
Yeah,
okay.
And we had, like, my daddy's mother and father was there.
Okay.
All his brothers and sisters were there.
Okay.
All but one sister. So when he sent us back to St. Louis, We didn't have to worry about a place to stay. We had a place to stay, and then Mama got a job, and we got our own place. We stayed there for a year.
Okay.
Until school was out that summer.
Okay. And then you came back to rejoin your dad.
We didn't have a choice.
Right.
She wasn't hearing it no more.
Okay.
So that's when we came back.
Okay.
But then my brother went to school there, though, because he graduated from Washington.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. West Division, I'm sorry. West Division.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he graduated from West Division.
Okay.
And then he went into the service after that.
That's right. You did bring that up.
Yeah.
So how old are your kids? What are their age range?
60 to Kevin is 40-something.
That's your baby?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
That's everybody's baby. He ain't worth 2 cents. But yeah, I have 5 girls and 2 boys.
Okay.
Yeah, and the girls are then Cheryl, Denise, then Cheryl, Denise, Lulu, then Chucky. Mm-hmm. Who am I missing? I'm missing one. I'm talking about your children. Okay, Lulu, Chucky, then Carol, then Angie, then Kevin.
Okay.
Yeah.
So a boy in the middle and a boy at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm a little unclear on your first job, because you said it was hard because at first you didn't have a college or a high school.
Oh, when I first came back here?
Yeah, so as
I worked at a place called Globe. Globe. I thought it was Globe Union. I don't remember now, but it was like, it was just a Christmas job.
Okay, seasonal.
And, you know, the seasonal job, and we packed stuff. And that didn't last long.
Okay.
But then I worked at there was a V&V market on Walnut, 7th and Walnut, and I worked there. At that time, though, my parents was living on 15th and North Avenue. In fact, I was living upstairs over there.
Okay.
And then I worked, once they opened the V&V on North Avenue, because I lived right in the next block, I was able to work there. So that's what I was doing. I was working as a cashier.
Okay, and you did that while you were attending school at MATC to get your diploma.
See, at that time it was AFDC, you could go to school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not that I thought I was better than anybody else, but getting a check once a month was not my thing.
Interesting.
No.
I understand.
You couldn't do nothing with it.
Mm-hmm.
By the time you paid your rent, and rent wasn't high then, you didn't have no money because you had to pay a light bill and a gas bill.
Right.
You know, and then the kids had to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
You had to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would do, I knew their sizes. I didn't believe in taking children to the store with me because I'd have to kill them. Because see, if I take you to the store, wherever I go is where you need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And see, now I'd hurt one of them. So I knew their sizes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd go to, I don't know if you know where Sears used to be on North Avenue.
Okay.
But I'd go to Sears and I'd put them in a layaway.
Okay.
And when school was out in the summer, I'd put them clothes in a layaway.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd pay on them until just before school opened.
Right.
And then by then I could get them out.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure my kids look just as good as anybody else's child that went to school.
Right.
And that's what I would do.
Okay. And so you were working there, and then when you got your diploma, you said you were able to get a different job with OIC at that point.
No, I didn't work for OIC.
Okay.
I worked for Cream City.
Oh, okay.
Right after I did that. In fact, they hired me, and I was due to get out of school in June.
That's an ice cream factory,
no,
right?
No, it's not.
Okay. That's what they have one of those now. That I was like,
No. It was actually a health insurance place for low income.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And what we did, we went around and I was hired in the social service department. And the young ladies and young men that worked in, that would go out, they would sign people up for insurance.
Okay.
And at that time it was Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Mm-hmm.
That would help them with whatever insurance they had, if they had any.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would make like home visits with them.
Mm-hmm.
I remember making a home visit to one young lady that talked about killing herself.
Oh.
And I sit with her and I gave her my phone number. I, Lord knows, I told that girl, I said, if you kill yourself, I'm going to wake you up and kill you again. But she was just depressed. Mm-hmm. And I got in to see a doctor. I had to talk and talk. You know, me and the young lady that was working with her, mm-hmm. we had to talk and talk, but we got her in to see a doctor.
Okay.
And I worked with her until, you know, she seemed to get all right. Even though she was seeing a doctor, we would still go see her.
And how long did you work with that, with Cream City?
Till they closed.
Okay. When was that?
I don't remember the year, baby. I'm being honest. I don't.
No, it's okay. Yeah. So after Cream City, then?
After Cream City, then I went to SDC.
What's that?
Social Development Commission. It's okay. Still running. And I worked for them. And then they had a department where they taught reading and like a GED classes and stuff. So I worked with a young lady that I knew. Mm-hmm. She helped me get that job.
At SDC.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Before then, though, I worked, I forgot that. When Cream City closed, mm-hmm. I worked for First Wisconsin Bank.
Oh, okay.
At data entry.
Okay.
Yeah, I went through, one of the young ladies went to, people that help you get a job, dude.
Like a recruiting company?
It's not called a recruiting company, though. Lord Jesus, I done worked with them twice and can't think of the name of them.
You were just talking about W-2, though.
Mm-mm. No, that was before W-2.
Okay.
It was still AFDC. When Cream City closed, one of the young ladies went to a place where they put you on jobs. Mm-hmm. And she called me one day, because I wasn't working right then, mm-hmm. and told me that the bank was hiring. They mm-hmm. wanted someone to come in, and mm-hmm. it was be a part-time. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't a long-term job. And I said, I don't care, it's a job. Mm-hmm. So I worked there, and I'd never done data entry before, and they taught it that it was easy. Mm-hmm. And I worked there, and then when the young lady that was working for SDC, a job came open, she told me about it.
Okay.
So I applied, and then I was working in with her in her department, and she was doing, she had a teacher's degree, and she was teaching a GED.
Right.
And I worked in that department until that department closed. Mm-hmm. And then I applied for Family Crisis Center, which was a shelter. Mm-hmm. And I worked for them until I had to resign, and then that's when I went to OIC.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And so were you working at OIC, like around the time that you started at OIC, was that around the same time that a lot of the plant closings were happening in Milwaukee?
Not really. Some of them were closing, but not that many. They weren't closing. They didn't close. I was still at OIC, I think, when some of the plants closed.
Okay.
Like A.O. Smith. Mm-hmm. I was there, I think, when they closed. No, I wasn't. They hadn't closed, but you know how they start phasing out certain mm-hmm. jobs? That they were doing that. Mm-hmm. They were phasing out, you know, because when A.O. Smith finally closed, mm-hmm. I think when I see it close, because the girl that's our secretary at church, mm-hmm. her and her twin sister worked there.
Okay. And you weren't working at OIC when they...
No, when they finally closed, I wasn't working at OIC. OIC had closed.
So when did you start noticing that the plant closings were bringing more people to your office at OIC?
It didn't necessarily do that.
It didn't, okay.
No, because those people that worked for the plants, they were still entitled to unemployment, mm-hmm. and some had pensions and so forth. So it didn't necessarily bring, the only people that came to my office mm-hmm. was W-2 clients.
Okay.
That's who we worked with.
Okay. That's what your department at OIC worked mm-hmm. with primarily.
That's what my department worked with. Mm-hmm. Now, there might have been some, but they might have went to other departments within OIC.
Okay.
You know, and the only way they came to us, if the person was getting W-2.
Okay.
Because that's who we worked with.
Okay.
You know. Mm-hmm. I didn't. No, I know I didn't. I never got anybody that was working for a plant that closed.
Oh, okay.
I got them because they were on W-2.
Okay, well, can you maybe tell me a little bit more about OIC? Because my understanding was that they did help a lot of people who are in manufacturing type of jobs,
That,
factory
but that
jobs.
was another department in OIC.
Okay.
That wasn't the department I
That you
worked
were
for.
within.
No.
Okay.
OIC had a lot of different departments open, but not where I was.
Okay.
Some of them was on Third Street and some of them were different other places, but I didn't work in those departments.
Okay, so what type of people did you encounter within your role at OIC? Like, what kind of backgrounds did they have?
None.
Okay.
Some of them had worked at one time or another. Not all of them were just never worked.
Okay.
They were menial jobs. And
Okay.
when I say menial, I'm not downplaying the job. It's just that they wasn't going to get nowhere with it.
Right.
And I say this in all honesty when I say this. And this is me. I'm not going to clean up Miss White lady's house. Some of them did that.
Right.
But that way it was a job. But nothing wrong with it. It was all right for them. But I wasn't gonna do it. I told my parents that. And my mama's only sister that. I know y'all did it. Because, you had to make ends meet. But here my hand to God. I'm not gonna clean up no white mama's house. And I don't have anything against white people. I'm just not gonna clean her house.
Right.
If I can clean mine, she can clean hers.
Right.
And I just wasn't gonna do that.
Okay.
And like I said, it had nothing to do with it, that I dislike white people. That's a damn lie. I don't dislike white people.
Well, everyone has their own personal preferences. I understand that. So, I mean,
And nothing
the
wrong with that. There's some of the ladies that come to me had done that. I didn't try to discourage them from doing that. There was money coming in their house. I just ain't gonna do it.
So it sounds like you worked with a lot of the community that were already in a position where they were kind of, I don't know if it's appropriate to say struggling. Is that right?
That, honey, that's the best part. I don't know what other word you use.
Okay, so
Yeah,
if they
they
were
were.
struggling,
They
how?
were struggling because they were on what they call W-2.
Right.
They went from an AFDC check, which they were first getting, and an AFDC check would, if I had one baby, I'd get X amount of dollars.
Right.
If I had another, they'd add more. If I had another, they'd add more. W-2 didn't do that. W-2 was a flat $673.
I think it's still that today.
And I think they dropped a 10. But
You might be right,
tell
actually.
me, and I'd say this to clients. How are you living on $673 a month? Your rent is five, sometimes six. Tell me how you're living. But you think there's something good. You think that just because I can stay home, I can get $673 a month. Something wrong with your thinking.
Do you think that that thought process was a result of people watching the plants close and people lose their jobs?
Mm-mm, had nothing to do with that. They're
Nothing.
lazy.
Okay. Was and I want to make sure I'm focused on the right time frame. Was this around the same time as the plant closings
Some of them,
too?
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But it had nothing to do with that.
Okay.
First place, they didn't work in the plant.
Right.
It was, and I can't say they were all lazy. It was a generation thing.
Okay.
My mother was on AFDC until I was 18. I had a baby, so I got on it. I'm gonna stay on this until my baby gets 18, then my baby will be on it. No. And I have told clients this. You don't know what you're talking about, Miss. You don't know what it is. You're a liar. I do. Because I was on AFDC. But I was the first person in my family that ever asked for welfare. I said, I have to ask for it. Because I didn't have a job. I couldn't get a job. And I had some children. But it was never my idea to stay on AFDC. I could not live like that. Now, and I ain't saying I'm better than nobody else. No, I wasn't. It was that I'm sitting at home getting one check a month. What do I look like? Ain't nothing wrong with me. I can work. I just don't have the education. Because I was stupid. Mm-hmm. And I tell them in a minute, that was my fault. All I had to do was go to school.
Okay, so what do you think the plant closings did to the community that you were working with, if anything?
Okay, it hurt a lot of women, and it hurt a lot of men. Mm-hmm. It hurt them in this way. Some of those women, boyfriend, worked at these plants.
Okay.
When they lost that job, they were both in the same bind. The only difference is that the man could draw unemployment, but that wasn't a lot of money.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It hurt the community when Miss Jones got a store on that corner. Mm-hmm. These men and women, because the women at the A.L. Smith, would go in there and every day and buy something. Mm-hmm. When the plant calls, what happened to that store on that corner?
They couldn't buy anything.
Mm-hmm. They didn't have the money. Mm-hmm. And they wasn't getting the crowd that they used to. When I say crowd, they wasn't crowding in there, but the men would come through there, the women would come through there, they had a lunch. Oh, I forgot to get such and such a thing. That's running that store and get it. Mm-hmm. That helped that lady that owned that store. Mm-hmm. The restaurant over here, where they'd go for lunch. Sometimes stop in to have a bite before they went to work or after they left work. Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody at that plant, so ain't nobody coming there.
Right. And you mentioned that your friends helped you find the different positions that you got. Mm-hmm. When times were tighter for people, was the community as willing to help one another?
Sure they were.
But if there was not that many options available, what did people turn to next?
They couldn't. If you lived in this neighborhood, and people knew that you had children, and knew that you didn't have that much, they'd look out for you.
That's good.
All them neighborhoods.
They do that nowadays.
There were good neighborhoods around here now. Mm-hmm. After a while, it got to be worse shit. But my parents, even though they became foster parents, there was a young lady that lived around the corner from us on 15th. We lived on North Avenue 15th. She lived on 15th. She had one child.
Okay.
Lenora lost her job. And I remember now where she was working. I'd come in every day because I'd go through Mama's to go upstairs. Lenora and her daughter Cassandra was sitting there. One day, they always ate at my mama's. And one day I came in, I said, Lenora and Cassandra ain't here, huh? Mama said, no. Your daddy took him up to Sears to get that child some shoes. I said, get what child some shoes? Cassandra. I said, Mom, let me ask you a question. I said, I know I got one child. Why are y'all buying her shoes? Why y'all keep on feeding them? See, when you're a spoiled brat, you'll say things like that. I was a grown woman, though. And Mama said, because she needs the help. She goes out every day looking for her job. She needs the help. I said, but yeah, look at you got these foster children, and look at all the grandchildren you got. Because at that time, by then, she had 14 grandchildren. I had 7. My brother had 7.
Oh, wow.
She said,
you guys were having a competition there?
I guess so. I didn't expect to have that many. Because Mama didn't have but 2.
Right.
And she said, so. I said, but you're always buying. She said, if your kids need anything, would we buy it? Well, yeah, but see, I'm your daughter, and that's your son. Mama said, I didn't know I raised a selfish wench, and she didn't. Now, Mama didn't call us names. Now, I said, excuse me. She said, you heard me. She said, the child needs help. We gonna help her, whether you like it or not. And by the way, Miss, you don't make my money.
Well, your mom told you.
Now, she would tell y'all. I said, yes, ma'am. I never said that again. But I was a grown woman. I should have understood better. But I was used to my mama and my daddy. You know, they didn't have no more children, and this was like a child of them. But I knew better.
But you said the community eventually changed. Do you think the plant closings contributed to that change when you said, I think you said it went to shit.
No, I think it's the people that came here.
Okay.
From wherever they came from. They wasn't the same type as them older people were.
Okay.
Because most of these neighborhoods were older people.
Okay.
And they wasn't the same.
And did the old people leave the neighborhood
no,
then?
No, they would either move mm-hmm. or they died off, you know.
Okay.
It wasn't... And all of them were old. When I say old, my mom and daddy wasn't that old.
Mm-hmm.
They were those kind of people who were raised, who came from the South.
Okay.
At one time or another,
mm-hmm.
even though they might have lived in the city. But they came with those values.
Mm-hmm.
That if the neighbor next door need a piece of bread, and I got two, I'm going to get the neighbor next door a piece of bread.
Mm-hmm.
These young folks now, and I say I'm old enough now, I can say young folks, that came into the city, they looked out for them.
So would you say that both the older people and the younger people noticed the change when the plant closings were happening? And how did the response between the two different generations differ? Besides you saying that the older generation was more willing to help.
Well, the younger generation got to be the fire dogs. And when I say that to say this. They went to breaking in and shit they didn't have no business breaking in because it didn't belong to them.
Right.
Some of the parents, and not all up now,
mm-hmm.
really didn't give a care.
Okay.
You know, the kids did what they wanted to do when they wanted to do it.
Why didn't the parents care, from your perspective?
Because they didn't know no better.
Okay.
They really didn't. They were not raised the way I was raised.
Okay.
For whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't raise their children the way I was raised and the way I raised mine and some of the other people
mm-hmm.
raised their children. We raised our children to be just as respectful to you as they would be to somebody 70.
Mm-hmm.
You are an adult. You are not a child. You might look like a child, but you're an adult.
Mm-hmm.
My child who's a child
mm-hmm.
had to say, if your first name was Christine, hi, Miss Christine.
Mm-hmm.
My 60-year-old daughter says to my friend, I have a friend named Christine. Hi, Miss Christine.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Because mm-hmm. she likes the teeth that's in her mouth. I don't play that.
Mm-hmm.
You will respect, when I say your elders, they don't mean that you are gray-headed. But you will respect your elders. Anybody that's a good friend of mine
mm-hmm.
is grown and old enough to be your mama.
Mm-hmm.
So you would act like that. These kids nowadays don't.
So how did the older people respond to the plant closings? Because if they're older, hopefully
some of their kids lost jobs.
Okay.
I have a girlfriend whose sister and husband worked at L. Smith. The husband worked there, and his son worked there.
Mm-hmm.
He retired.
Okay. That's
he had retired just before they went to close it.
Okay.
The sons still worked there.
Okay.
In fact, I think both his sons, two of the boys worked there. When the plant closed, that locked them kids out of job.
And then what did they do?
They just went to live with mama and daddy.
For how long?
The last time I saw Charlotte, one of the boys was still there. Because he never married. He got some babies out there, but he never married.
Okay.
He was still there the last time I saw Charlotte. Now, I don't know if he's still there or not, because I haven't seen Charlotte now in a while.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened, and I call it a trickle-down effect. It probably trickled up. But Mom and Daddy already retired.
Mm-hmm.
I got a job over here
mm-hmm.
with my family. The plant closed. I do the best I can. Sooner or later, the house I'm living in, I can't stay there no more.
Mm-hmm.
Where I go? Over here to Mom and Daddy. So they got a house. And we bunk up together. Now, they do that.
Mm-hmm.
They still do that.
As a result of those closings, there were mm-hmm. some people who never were able to...
To get back up on their feet, you know.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we as black people do anyhow,
mm-hmm.
if you get down on your luck, And you got some family, they take you in. They might not take you in for a long time, but they take you in.
Mm-hmm.
Other than if you get like me, you can't move back in mine no more. I'm tired. But they'll do that. Some of them had to do that based on the plants closing.
Okay.
And they did as much as they could, as long as they could.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a while, you can't pay your rent.
Mm-hmm.
You can't pay that mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
You might be able to get by with the rent.
Right.
Because sometimes the rent ain't as much as the mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
Then they lose their house.
Right.
Then they got to have somewhere to go. Some of them people have not found jobs. And if they found them, they're not the kind of money they made at the plants.
Right. So are there any success stories of people who managed to still survive and do more than survive after the plants close?
Annie Bard belongs to my church.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason I won't tell you use her, Annie Bard is getting dementia.
Okay.
Annie Bard went back to A.L. Smith.
Okay.
She was laid off. And she went back to A.L. Smith when they called her back.
Mm-hmm.
When they closed, she was able to get some kind of pension, whatever their pension was. She was able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
She did well. Annie Bard's still doing well.
Okay.
You know, but she's got dementia.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have to watch her when she comes to church.
Oh.
But other than that, I tell you to talk to Annie Bard.
Okay. Well, and I'm glad you brought that up. How did the church community kind of respond to their constituents going through this and these changes?
Knowing my church.
Mm-hmm.
If you got really bad, they'd help you, because they helped me when after OIC closed.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't tell them. One of my girlfriends told it. I was about to cut my lights and gas off.
Mm-hmm.
I had paid as much as I could, and I didn't have no more money. And she went to pass. I know she did it, because she called me when I said something about it. She said, "Margaret, I did that. I was all to slap you." But she went to pass and told pass I was about to have my lights and gas cut out. Because I wondered how the deacons knew that I was in a bind, because they called me and asked me after lunch. I said, "Yeah, okay." And so both of them were married. I knew who they were, and they both married. So I knew it wasn't no hanky-panky mess.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Yeah, okay." So we went to lunch, and they got to talking. They already had to check.
Uh-huh.
And I asked both of them, "How did you find out I needed some help?" Well, that's how my little bird told us. So I'm trying to figure out
who's telling your business.
Yeah, because I don't tell too many people my business.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew three women knew.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to figure out which one of them three ran their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, "All right, somebody going to tell me." And I was talking to Raleigh, and I said to her that the church helped me.
Mm-hmm.
I said, "So I was able to pay my light and gas bill." I said, "But I'm trying to figure out who told it." And I said, "You knew it. Christine knew it. Mm-hmm. And Gretchen knew it." I said, "I'm going to talk to them, because I'm going to cuss me out somebody." She said, "Margaret, I told her." I said, "Who told you to tell it?"
Mm-hmm.
She said, "Because I knew you wouldn't." I said, "No, I wasn't going to church, but I know the church."
Mm-hmm.
All you had to do was go.
But so do you feel like if even you yourself didn't want to seek out help, how hard do you feel it was for these other people?
It was hard.
Even the people that you're saying were your friends and their children lost their jobs, how did those people feel? Did any of them tell you about those feelings?
Mm-mm. And I guess I'll tell you why, because I don't tell my business to folks.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talk, we just talk general. You know, I try not to get, that's one thing Mama tell you in a minute, stay out of folks' business. If you can't help them, stay out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't.
Mm-hmm.
The three ladies that I called, of them three, and but two of them that I honestly God tell my business to, because we talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And if we got some problems, we tell each other, that kind of thing. I don't do that. Now, if you say something to me, I promise you this, I ain't going to say nothing to nobody.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't. I don't go around, you tell me something, "Girl, do you know what Alice Sue told me?" I don't
right.
do that. Mm-mm. No. And in a sense, most of the mature black people
mm-hmm.
were able to make it as best they could.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they had some problems, But they had somebody to go to, whether it was the church or family members. Mm-hmm. Most of them had somebody that they could kind of turn to until it got obnoxious and then you could turn to them.
Right.
But I think most of them did fairly well. Now, I don't know about all of them because I didn't know all of them.
Right. But where would people go when?
They could, like if it's a family.
Mm-hmm.
If they get that bad, they could apply for W-2.
Okay.
They'll get it. Mm-hmm. But there's some strings attached to W-2.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to be willing to do what the guidelines are.
Job search.
And all that. They could get that. Mm-hmm. They get food stamps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now with this new rule they got, if you're getting food stamps, help them, Jesus, you got to take the drug test.
I did read something about that.
Listen here, please. I don't take drugs, but I would refuse, and I get food stamps because I'm a senior, and they give me something. They don't give me enough, but they give me something, and I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
They can ask me to take a drug test, and you don't tell them to do it with them stamps. Tell them to take it and ram it because I'm not taking it. I don't take drugs.
Mm-hmm.
The only medicine I take is the medicine my doctor gave me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if testing me if there's some drugs in some of that. I don't know.
So did drug use grow as a result of people at the plant closings, or like what other types of things happened? Because like alcoholism, those different, what kind of effects? I should have asked more generally, shouldn't?
None that I knew of. These niggas was already on drugs and they was already drunks.
Okay.
I really don't. I don't know because I knew some people that worked at LIC, mm-hmm. A.L. Smith, mm-hmm. that were drunks.
Uh-huh.
They drank all the time.
Okay.
You know, so their plant closing didn't hurt them.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? They were already drunk.
Why did OIC close? What happened?
They accused Mr. G of kickback or something, paying somebody off.
Okay.
Nah, he went to jail.
And
they didn't keep it open. They had somebody. Now, this is just my personal opinion,
mm-hmm.
okay? Not only mine, some other folks.
Mm-hmm.
They had somebody there who could have stepped in. He was vice president. That's Mr. Clay.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they left Mr. Clay there. That we'd have still been there.
Okay.
And I'm not the only, I might be the only one to say it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of folks that I worked with said the same thing.
Okay. Because from what I'm understanding about what OIC did for people, if OIC had remained open, wouldn't that have been a resource to the people?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. OIC offered training and a lot of stuff.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would have been fine, but they chose to close it.
So what kind of training programs replaced OIC?
None that I know of, other than W-2.
That's not really fully a training.
Nah, that ain't it.
Okay.
No. And a lot of the people that left that got laid off from OIC, you know, when OIC closed,
mm-hmm.
Some of the better ones have not found a job at the other agencies. My supervisor, I always call her my supervisor because when it closed, she was at another building.
Mm-hmm.
So she wasn't my supervisor, but I always called her Beverly. I worked through an agency, and mm-hmm. she had a job for a while. Other than that, that's the only job Beverly got. And Beverly was in management
mm-hmm.
at OIC. A lot of us older people,
mm-hmm.
we ain't got no job. One of the young ladies that was damn good, and still is,
mm-hmm.
in employment, if she wrote your resume, did your resume,
mm-hmm.
and a cover letter,
mm-hmm.
if you didn't get a job, something wrong with you.
Okay.
That's how good she is.
Okay.
You know, Donna finally went to Georgia.
Okay.
You know, and she's still doing it for Wisconsin. Because you go on Facebook, I go on Facebook, but I play games. And I read everything y'all put on there. I don't write nothing. I read. But I play, and my kids put me on there because they know I like to play games.
Mm-hmm.
And they put me on there and showed me the games, so I play the games. Mm-hmm. But I read everything they put on there. I just go down there and read. And some of it I like to slap it. Stay mine. But Verna now, if you look, she'll have, if she knows of jobs in Wisconsin, she's on there. It's on there.
Okay.
Jobs in Georgia is on there.
Okay.
She also tell you to go on her page if you need a cover letter and your resume written. Verna, good. Okay. Two of my granddaughters, I told them, I sent them to Verna. I said, let Verna do it.
All right.
They didn't have no problem getting a job.
So there's definitely some good people out there and definitely lazy people out there. I feel like we covered a lot and you definitely talked about the plant closing in and its effects. Is there anything that I didn't ask you that you want to share? I was trying to be, try not to lead you too much with my questions. Yeah. But, I mean, one of the things I guess that's on here that I didn't ask you is, what do you think they should have done when all these plant closings were happening?
The only thing that I felt like maybe would have been good, if they had a place where... If I've been a welder all my life, maybe there's something else I could do. If there's no plants out there where I can apply, then have a place where I can go train.
Right.
Get some different training. Mm-hmm. And they might have had it. I don't know.
Okay.
But that would have been nice. You know, to have something in place where these people could go and get some sort of other training. In a field, there's a job in Milwaukee, in Wisconsin for that field.
Okay.
You know, not just training to be training, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
No, I think that would have been nice, you know.
And for your school, when you finished MATC and got your associates, did they ever have any programs that, I mean, MATC's been around for a long time. Was there anything that the educational institutions did to help transition people that lost their jobs?
Sure, they could have went down there.
Okay.
You know, I don't know if they've actively recruited them,
but
I don't know what ain't at MATC. I'm being honest.
Okay.
And I tell everybody, if you've been out of school a long time, for years, don't go out to UWM. Go to MATC first. Get back into this, the studying and taking classes and taking tests. Not that you couldn't get it at UWM. I'm not saying that. I'm saying if you ain't been in school in 30 years, don't you dare try to go out to UWM first.
Do you feel like after there was a certain time, a certain amount of time that would pass and people would kind of give up, I guess, on finding something?
I don't know, because I did.
You did?
I'm tired of going out putting in applications. And don't necessarily, I have enough sense that if I don't hear from you, after a certain time, I'm going to call and find out what's going on. And they'll come up, well, you know, there was, sorry about that, there was someone that was a little more qualified. Then you find out, because you know somebody there. You find out they didn't have no more than you had. They were younger. You know, so I just said, I'm tired. I'm tired of going out here every day. Putting in an application, or sitting here at this computer putting in an application. I just quit.
Okay.
I have to. I get a Social Security check, so I have to do what I can do with that.
Right.
Which ain't shit, but.
And you still raised your seven kids and have grandkids and great grandkids.
Lord,
so.
Yes, and I don't babysit no more. I don't babysit. The last child that left my house was Shirley. We call her Shay Shay. She was the baby when I took the kids from my daughter. She wasn't thought about. She had her afterwards. And then I, my daughter and one of my other daughters, and I went out to the hospital and brought her home. I raised when she graduated from my school. She didn't want to go to college, that's fine. Get you a job, but she had a job. She went from, you know, just working because she was in school to full-time, made manager. Got her a place to live and moved.
Okay.
Her sister right up over her was still in college. When she come home, she got her job. She stayed there for a while. She got her place and she moved. When that one moved, that was the last one of them. I'm through with children. Don't babysit.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to share with me as one of the young people.